Pastors Steve Warren and Pastor Sarah Merchant. I want to welcome you to Mountain View today. Our pastors are downstairs teaching a class together at this moment. But I am here to lead you through a service of play. Do we have any visitors today visiting? If you do, we've got some popcorn as a way of thanking you for popping in. Okay, I think we're good. I'm not sure you're a visitor, Bubba, but we can always make you some popcorn. Okay, well, thank you.
Good morning. There are a few announcements I would like to share with you. You can find more details and other announcements printed in your bulletin. Today at 2 p.m., there's a March for Unity event. It will begin at Har Hashem and continue to Atonement Lutheran Church, Islamic Center of Boulder, and will conclude at Second Baptist Church of Boulder at 4:15. Come walk together to create a community of understanding, awareness, and acceptance. Next Sunday, October 7th, there is an inclusivity committee panel and discussion. Please plan to attend as they will have a panel presentation to look at scripture that speaks to human sexuality. The panel will include three United Methodist pastors who will represent the traditionalist view, the compatibilist view, and the progressive view. Please join as we continue the journey of loving conversations and differing beliefs within our church family. On October 13th, there's a trustees work day. It will start here at the church at 8 a.m. and should be over around noon or 1 p.m. that day. So please come and plan to assist with the trustees work day. And lastly, Bump is holding its salmon and turkey dinner on Sunday, October 14th. From 4:30 to 7 p.m. at Barker Hall. Please come for a great meal, fellowship, and to learn more about and support the mission work of Bump. And now please greet each other with a handshake or embrace and the words, "May the peace of God be with you."
I didn't mean to call you, but I haven't got to it yet. Yeah, for sure that one, the one that you sent out, the Thursday one. We probably are moving practice earlier now that it's getting darker, so I probably will start to be able to be there maybe a little bit late at 6:30 meetings.
Please stand and join me in the invitation to worship found in your bulletin or the screen. We are called to joy. We are called to love. We are called to play. We are called to care. We are called to find God. Please remain standing while we sing our opening hymn. Our parents, who by whose name found on the screens are your handles, number 447.
Thank you.
Okay, yep, you guys may be seated. And I need Walker to come on up. Oh, wait, right? Am I doing the wrong thing here? No, we are, hold on. We're doing the presentation of our Bibles. So we need Walker to come up. So hold on. Actually, you know what, Bumble, though, I was going to have all of you guys come up and sit with Walker, though. Walker, come on up. All the rest of you kids can come up, too, because this is kind of, we're going to get up for a moment and move a little bit. So you guys all come up and sit around Walker. Walker, I need you in the middle, though. Because you're getting something fun, man. Walker gets our special gift today that we give to all of our third graders. So here at Mountain View and at many Methodist churches, when you hit third grade, you get a special gift from the church. So Walker, I have one for you today. How's that sound? So a few of you have already gotten your Bibles before, Jeremy Jackson and Max and Jameson, right? So we're going to help Walker open this today, okay, you guys? So what's it wrapped in first, Walker? Before you start opening, what is the first wrap? Cardboardish. It's like a brown paper bag, right? Does anybody remember why we have it wrapped in a brown paper bag? Why?
Because it's old.
Because this gift is old. This was something that has been around for a very, very long time, longer than anybody else here. And so we remember that this gift is old. Now the next layer. It's true. And then the next layer is what color?
Gold.
Gold. We have a gold layer. Who remembers what the gold layer means? Max again. Because it's precious, exactly. This gift is a treasure. Hold on, Walker, you're getting ahead of me. This gift is a treasure. It's for you to hold on to. People have been put in jail for this gift. People have fought over this gift. This is something that is very precious to hold on to. What's the third one, you think? What do you see? What do you see on there? Oh, no, turn it over. What do you see on that side? Comics and stories. Thank you, Walker. That's exactly what that part means. It's a reminder that this gift is full of stories. Stories you can use to learn. Stories you can use to grow closer to God. Stories you can use to just guide your life. And you can, yeah, so you can take that wrapper off. You can keep that piece of paper. I know Calvin and Hobbes is your favorite. So you can keep that. And then what's the last layer you see there? What's this layer? So the last layer you open up to is white. Max, do you remember what the white paper meant? It reminds us that this comes from God, right? This is the Word of God. This gift for you, Walker, is a way for you to read God's Word and for it to be meaningful in your life. Here, we'll hold it for a minute. Finish opening up the white paper. You can take it back with you to the playground. Okay, and then what do you see inside there, Walker? There is a Bible. And if you look in the front cover, it has your name in it. It says it's a gift from Mountain View United Methodist Church with today's date. So that is your very own Bible that you can keep. So show of hands, who still has their third grade Bible? Yeah, see, look at all these people I hear. Walker, you have now joined a club just like these people, where we all get our Bibles. And this is something you can keep, and you can read, and you can use to kind of guide your life. What do you think? It is a kind of flimsy one. So there we go. And so those of you who are up here who are not yet third graders, you'll be getting yours in a few years, right? And then some of you next year, right? And then for those of you who already gotten yours, you guys still know where your Bible is? Yeah? There you go. It's something to keep and use whenever you guys need it. So, well, thank you guys for sitting and sharing this moment with Walker. Here, you can take this back with you. You guys can go back to your seat, except for my friends Julia and Peyton and Chandler and Walker. You're going to stay right here. They're going to share some prayers with us. Okay? Everybody else can go back to their seats. Okay, good deal. Okay, so this is our prayers from the children. So we have Julia and Peyton and Chandler are going to read our first prayer, and then we have a second prayer from Walker. Okay, go ahead, Julia.
Let your light shine in me.
I have light in my right hand and light in my left hand. There is light above me and below me. Help me find your light in the darkness and share your light with others.
Let your light shine in me. Amen.
I don't know. Thank you, God, for trees and twigs, for buildings and bricks, for streets and walks, for land and grass, and for all the things I can see, touch, and hear. Thank you for so many ways we can play in your creation. Amen.
Prayer is communicating with God, and prayer makes our relationship with God stronger. When we pray, we invite God to be present in everything we do, with us everywhere we go. Let us pray together the way Jesus teaches us.
Our Father
in heaven, invite the ushers to come forward. Dear God, we give you today what is already yours. You provide so much for us. Thank you for giving us the ability to give. Help us continue to grow our ability to love one another. Keep our hearts cheerful in all that we do. Amen.
Okay, as our ushers are taking care of our offering, I invite the kids to come back because we have a song to share with you. We've been working on the story of the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for the last few weeks. And our song is all about how no matter where we are, no matter what scary stuff is going on in our lives, who can we trust?
God.
We can trust God, right? So our song is called My Heart Trust in You.
Your praise, 'cause my
thank you for these gifts. Help us to use them in ways that strengthen this congregation. Support those that need our help, and glory you always. Amen. Please remain standing while we sing our hymn of faith. Help us accept each other found on the screens in your hymnals, number 560.
Join me in the scriptural meditation. Our scripture comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? If you lose your usefulness and will end up in the garbage, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, good morning. This has been a fun service so far. I love that we've had so many kids that were involved. This has been good. So my name is Larissa Hoffman, and I am the Director of Children and Family Ministries here at Mountain View. And I welcome you to our annual celebration of the Children's Sabbath, a day that encourages all of us to pray, to study, and to respond to the challenges of caring for children with faith, courage, and commitment. This day is an affirmation of children, a time to remember that children are from God, and a time for us to model love to children in our congregation and beyond. It is also a time for reflection, for us to reflect on what it means to be a child, for us to see God through a child's eyes, for us to accept the innocent wisdom children bring to the table. Children are agents of God's unconditional love. They love without hesitation. They are so easily accepting of the world around them. They speak honestly and ask questions when they don't understand. They allow themselves to laugh and to cry, not caring who is watching. They dance in puddles. They skip down sidewalks. They fall and they start again. When we talk about kids, we talk about innocence. We talk about hope. We talk about our future. In them, we see the parts of ourselves that have been buried under the expectations of adulthood. As we grow and learn the ways of the world, we lose the wonder of being a child. We lose the magic of running through the grass barefoot. We lose the joy in blowing out birthday candles. We lose the luxury of taking time to pick flowers and chase rainbows. We lose our sense of play. The dictionary defines play as an exercise or activity that is done only for amusement or recreation. Play may be described as clowning around, dancing, letting loose, doing things with laughter. For kids, play is a significant part of the day. Anyone who spends time with children understands that play is the universal language of childhood. It is through play that children understand each other and make sense of the world around them. As they play with peers, children learn social skills such as sharing, taking turns, self-discipline, and tolerance of others. The creativity of play assists in their emotional and intellectual development and mental health resilience. As there is no right or wrong way to play, kids are free to use their imaginations and interact with each other without concern for rules that often come in an adult-led environment. Play may or may not include equipment or have an end product. Play can be enjoyed individually or in a group. Play can be boisterous and energetic, but play can also be quiet and contemplative. Play really is the spice of life. If I were to ask any of these kids here today, when was the last time you guys played? They'd probably tell you right now. Kids are always ready for some amusement and some recreation. They find play in the most mundane of tasks and can turn almost anything into a game. But what if I asked all of you over, say, the age of 12, when was the last time you played? Like, really, really played. The kind of play that makes you laugh all the way to your toes. The kind of play where we lose ourselves and we take ourselves just in the moment. The kind of play that leaves you feeling refreshed and ready for anything. As adults, we live in the grown-up world of responsibilities, jobs, mortgage payments, doctor's appointments, grocery store shopping. We might try to carve out some time for play by scheduling a vacation or meeting friends for dinner or taking a yoga class. Our play is often a planned, scheduled event lacking in creativity and imagination. The way we play is all laid out either by ourselves or by others with rules, expectations, a beginning, and an end. And sadly, our play is too often threatened by our busy lives. We are quick to cancel the fun stuff when the not-so-fun stuff gets in the way. But play is more than just having fun. Play is a feeling of, yes, this is what I want to be doing right now. Play is a source of relaxation. By triggering the release of endorphins, the body's natural feel-good chemicals, play leads to an overall sense of well-being. We can use play to challenge our brains, helping to reduce memory problems. Playing with others in a social environment can ward off depression and stress. It also fosters empathy, compassion, and trust in our relationships. Through play, we fuel our imagination, our creativity, our problem-solving abilities, and our emotional well-being. Play adds joy to life, relieves stress, and connects us with others. Play is important. Play is necessary. Play is needed. For the past several weeks, our pastors have been preaching on spiritual practices, the ways we create space for God in our lives. Spiritual practices focus our mind and heart on God rather than ourselves and our stresses, our anxieties, or our fears. Prayer, worship, generosity, serving, Bible study. These are all ways in which we become closer to God, ways in which we allow God to be a part of us. So what if I told you you can become closer to God through play? What if I told you that play is just as much a spiritual practice as worship or Bible study or prayer? Play can be a holy thing. It can be healing to the body, mind, and soul. When we play, we leave behind the daily stressors and allow our spirit to breathe and recreate. The Bible has a few things to say about play. Ecclesiastes 8:15 tells us, "And I commend joy, for man has no good thing under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful, for this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun." Psalm 149:3 says, "Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine." And in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, we hear Jesus saying, "Are you tired? Worn out? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." These verses tell us that play can be a significant part of a spiritually fulfilling life, opening us up to creativity, to joy, and to life itself. The world God created for us is unpredictable and exciting and full of all sorts of blessings that we can delight in, as long as we allow ourselves to be present, to find joy, and to look for ways to play. When we take on an attitude of play, we are making space for God. We stop taking ourselves so seriously. We breathe in the beauty of creation. We revel in the astonishing gift of being. But as natural as play is, the act of playing can be hard for us grown-ups. Kids don't need invitations to play. They wake up ready to go. But we might need some help. Marianne Brusett says that the daily practice of play requires just that, practice. On her blog post about the spiritual practice of play, she gives us four tools to help us bring more play into our lives. She tells us to look for daily cues, to find reminders of play all around, to vow to play better, and to look for blessings that come with play. Daily cues, reminders, vow, and blessings. When I hear someone laugh, that is my daily cue to practice play. When I see a playground, that is my reminder that all ground can be a playground. When I play a game, I vow to make my play more cooperative and less competitive. And always, I'll thank God for the many blessings play may bring. Play helps us to find the beauty in every day, and it can color our world with wonder. So as in years past, I have a book to share with you. The book is called A Day with No Crayons, and the illustrations beautifully depict the power of play. So this is called A Day with No Crayons. Liza loved her crayons. She treasured turquoise, adored apricot, and flipped over fuchsia. In fact, coloring made Liza feel tickle me pink. Every day, Liza filled her coloring books with aquamarine oceans, royal purple plums, and screaming green dragons. She papered the walls of her room, the hallway, and the bathroom with neat, bright pages. Then one day, Liza ran out of paper. Her coloring books were full, and there wasn't a single sheet of blank paper left. Liza paced her room, unsure of what to do, until she discovered, right in front of her, one blank wall. "What on earth are you doing?" her mother cried. "Coloring," says Liza. "Coloring? Your walls?" her mother exclaimed. She snatched up Liza's crayon bucket. "No more crayons for you today." "No crayons?" Liza cried. "A whole day with no crayons?" Liza shuffled to the bathroom, feeling blue, midnight blue, in fact. "A day with no crayons," she grumbled. She gripped the toothpaste crossly, squirting a blue green streak across the sink. "Now look at the mess I've made," she mumbled, smearing it toward the drain. Later, Liza trudged to the park and smacked her foot in a puddle. A day with no crayons is as brown as mud, she mourned, stomping around the basketball court. Finally, Liza slumped to the ground and brushed her grass-stained knees. The green wouldn't come off. Liza leaned forward for a closer look. She thought, that's spring green and jungle green mixed. Liza rolled over and found herself eye to eye with a lovely flower. Why, that color's not bluebell at all, she said. It's more like cornflower. Liza yanked a nearby dandelion and crushed it in her fist. When she opened her palm, it glowed. And this isn't dandelion yellow, she laughed. It's more like laser lemon. Liza jumped up. It's even lovelier than laser lemon. Liza mashed dazzling yellow dandelions onto her cuffs. Then she squashed deep purple blackberries onto her pockets and rubbed brilliant orange tiger lilies down both legs. Running through the park in her rainbow pants, Liza suddenly saw color everywhere. She dragged a muddy stick across the park, sketching a chocolate brown tree trunk with long stretching branches. She pressed leaves of meadow green, sea green, and forest green in the mud and squished them onto her tree until it shimmered. She gathered flower petals and fashioned birds that flew with her across the park. As Liza left the park, she scraped an old red brick along the sidewalk, drawing a desert, some camels, then a whole caravan. Near her house, Liza gathered gray-blue pebbles and laid them side by side until an ocean swelled. Up the front porch steps, Liza scattered dandelions and rhododendron petals until a sunset glowed. That night, Liza crawled in bed, arranging her pillows around her. Outrageous orchid, she thought. Magic maze. Wonder melon. Her mother walked into the room holding Liza's crayons. You can have your crayons back, her mother said, kissing her on the head, if you promise not to color on the walls. Liza eyed the crayons her mother held out to her. She smoothed the blankets on her bed and considered the coloring books spread out on the floor around her. She said. I think I can go one more day with no crayons. When her mother first takes her crayons away, Liza feels angry and frustrated, like all the fun had been sucked out of her life. She is left with no colors, and her world is nothing but shades of black, white, and gray. As she sulks, she fails to notice the colors that are all around. Her bad mood kept her from seeing all there is to see. She misses the blue-green swirls of toothpaste in the sink and doesn't notice the brown patterns made by stomping in the mud. But then she notices a smudge of jungle green mixed with spring green and a bluebell flower that is really more of a cornflower color. Her joy spreads over laser lemon and forest green, and suddenly her world is bursting with colors. The illustrations go from dreary to dazzling as Liza discovers what brings her joy. Through play, Liza discovers the light in herself. She found her source of happiness and in joy, and in doing so, she brings colors to her world. Max read our scripture passage earlier. It was from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. It's a passage most of us have heard before, and it's really in two parts. But in its whole, I believe it is a passage about play. It's about being present for others, for ourselves, for our children. It's about how our actions affect the whole. So listen again to that first part. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Why do we use salt? On its own, salt has a strong, distinctive taste. But when added to food, it brings out flavors we might otherwise be missing. Salt is about taking something rather ordinary and adding something to it to make it something more. We are the salt, and we can make something ordinary something more. We have the ability to bring out the God flavors in other people by building relationships, by offering kindness, by sharing joy, and inviting others to play. The second part of the verse says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on the hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you up there on the hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. When we live in the love of God, we are lights for all to see. And when we let our lights shine to glorify God, to bring out the God colors in our world. How would you color yourself? Do you live in shades of black and white and gray? Do you find just small spots of color? Or do you live in a world of tickle me pink and fuchsia? In our book, Liza's anger and frustration led to dreary illustrations and a sense of darkness. But as she found her joy, as she found her play, her world was a rainbow of colors. When we play, we find joy in the everyday. When we connect with others and build relationships, when we give ourselves permission to just be, we are like those rainbow pages. And by being the people that God made us to be, people who share joy, people who share love, people who play, we are sharing our God colors with everyone we meet. So at the inside end of each pew, you'll find a cup. And inside that cup, you'll find strips of black paper and sticks. I know a few have already been found. It's okay. So I want you to pass the cup down to others. Make sure everybody gets a black piece of paper and a stick. We might need to move around a little bit to make sure everybody gets one. There's plenty in the pews. I think. Okay. Okay, I want you to look at your black strip of paper now. I want you to look at it, and I want you to think of all of the things that keep you from play. Work, chores at home, doctor's appointments, meetings we have to attend, all the reasons that play gets pushed to the side in our everyday lives. Think about those things. And now think of what you might do to make play more of a priority. Think of the ways you might want to play. Think of how play might make you feel. Think of the people you might play alongside. Using the stick, scratch at the black paper. Scratch at it. You should see some colors peeking through. So go ahead and scratch some more. Create designs, write a word, draw a picture. These strips of paper can be taken with you today and act as a reminder to all of us to play more. Let God's light shine through you and bring out the God colors in the world for all to see. For we are a people of God, and God wants us to play. I want to close with a quote by Brooke Hampton that came across my Facebook page this week. It was shared by my dear friend Wendy, and it reads, "No, we don't need more sleep. It's our souls that are tired, not our bodies. We need nature. We need magic. We need adventure. We need freedom. We need truth. We need stillness. We don't need more sleep. We need to wake up and live." So go out into your world, this week and others, and laugh and live and be still and play. So as in years past, I invite you all to help our kids throughout this next year with prayers. In this basket is the name of every child we have here at Mountain View, from our babies in the nursery through our fifth graders. I invite you to take one of these, and I encourage you to keep that child in your prayers for the next year, praying that they will always find time to play, praying that they won't forget to laugh and find joy in what they do, praying that they'll see and be the God colors. The name on the card might be unfamiliar to you. If this is the case, just ask me, and I'll do my best to introduce you guys or give you some information. Better yet, you're always welcome to come to Sunday school or stop by the nursery and say hi, so that the children of our church will feel the love and presence of all these caring adults. Children need us, so let them know how much you appreciate them being here. I'll stand at the back after the service is over, and you are welcome to take a card. At this point, I invite you guys to stand and sing our closing hymn. We are going to be like kids and play a little bit with "This Little Light of Mine." Okay, so take your God colors with you. Remind yourself to find laughter and joy and play in everything that we do. Have a great week.